Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust them, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, the show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Plex Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man. You got $1 million audience, man. Matter of fact, let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy Fred Nux. Get at him.
Do you smell when Nux is cooking?
Rat Mania 2 coming soon.
Do you smell when Nux is cooking? Neck filled with three X's. Cause damn it, I am hardcore. Cheer, let's get ready, baby. Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Live and 5, 4.
And we go live, people. Welcome back to the best damn show in radio, people. And you are tuned in, locked into the fourth annual, something we like to call around here, the Plexies, people. Spelt with three X's. Because like 2017, wrestling has been, just like your host, Mike Knox, hardcore, people. But as always, first, the particulars, people. The number to call in is 347-637-3859. You want to have a voice, you want to be heard? Hit the number one button so that way we know you have some balls the size of grapefruits and want to join the program. If not, sit back and relax because already, avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. The line is on fire, people. Today, we have a smorgasbord of things in wrestling to talk about and a 90-minute squeezed-in edition of Perfect Plex Talk Radio. We were going to give you our end-of-the-year awards. I'd like to tell you right now, I just told you, we call them the Plexi Awards. Who will win Wrestler of the Year? Who will win the new Piper's Pit Award for the best wrestling talk show? Also tonight, we got a pay-per-view we must talk about, Clash of the Champions. And right now, people, if you don't know, I'm about to tell you, yes, 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 I got my yes shirt on because tonight begins the road to WrestleMania for Daniel Bryant. I gave you my word. I promise my word. I mama, forgive me. I know it's Sunday. I guarantee fucking teed he will wrestle at WrestleMania, and it starts tonight on the pay-per-view. Also, Ring of Honor final battle took place on Friday night. I got a chance to check it out as well. You should have checked it out if you didn't. Too damn bad for you. But people, 347-637-3859 on the call in. Make sure you follow me on Twitter by my name. Check I am. I'm glad you're good. Dale, 3X is Mike Knox. Make sure you follow Perfect Plex underscore on the internet as well, on Twitter, social media, and Soul and Sports. And while you're at it, follow everybody a part of my crew and talking with my crew. He hails from Richmond, Virginia. Beatmaker extraordinaire himself, and damn it, the motherfucking ribs look good as shit on the motherfucking video. His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on the Twitter by Amy Richmond. What's going on, Micah?
Did I just make you go off on the fact that my ribs are hot like fire, like Jared Goff? Did it make you want to drive 17 hours just to make sure you had some of these ribs that had a sauce that was sweet and sour? The bars are here. The bars are here to stay. And, man, I tell you, everyone had their way with those ribs, my brother. But that's okay. You know I'm going to look out for you when I come down and come through. So don't worry, Mike Knox. Don't be blue. I got your back, brother.
Listen. Them ribs look so damn good. I know what you're cooking tonight for the pay-per-view tonight. I know that's to be sure. But also, join us on the program is no other than Dice Man on the Twitter. What's going on, Dice Man?
What is going on, everybody? I am not even going to lie. I kind of forgot that there's a pay-per-view tonight. But I'm still on my A-game because I still know about what it is that you want to hear from me. So let's get it started.
Well, people, 347-637-3859 on the call. And Hugo is at work trying to wait for your opportunity, if you will, to hit the number one button to talk, as well as you. You can hit the number one button if you want to talk as well. And let's just start it off right now. Should we start off with an award to start the show off? Or should we get into Clash of the Champions talk or Final Battle talk? What do you guys think? Should we give an award? Should we give a Plexi award away right now? Nah, I think I'm going to make them wait for a Plexi. Isn't it way for Plexi? No. Vaughn, what do you think, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter? Should we give a Plexi away right now or talk Clash of the Champions? Or should we talk, he said, a Plexi? You do know it's salt dice with three X's, right? Did you know that?
What?
Were you aware of that, Dice Man? Did you know the Plexis are spelled with three X's? Did you know that? Were you aware?
Maybe that's because they're hardcore as well.
That is talk perfect Plexi. No underscore. I forgot the other one got hacked because I had the other sucker who was in his own realm somewhere, had the account number, so I'd make a new one. So this one's just at talk perfect Plex. The first Plexi of the day. What should we have the first Plexi of the day be? Let me look at this list that Micah put in front of me.
You want to, Mike, may I make a suggestion, Mike?
You can make several of them, whether I choose one.
Okay.
Or not.
Maybe the first Plexi should be the one that you had the most controversy in our chat about. The conversation over what makes matches great versus not great.
No, you cannot start with match of the year. You cannot start with match of the year. That is not going to happen.
Well, do pay per view of the year. That's more than likely
where I was going. I thought you was going to have some kind of, you know, since you was up there making them ribs, I thought you had something coming for me. But guys, here it is. Listen, there are 24 damn near pay per views a year in wrestling. From Wrestle Kingdom to TNA, whatever shit they got going on this month. Final Battle, which, by the way, if I'd have waited to next week, this might have been in the category for one of the pay-per-views of the year from a wrestling standpoint. It was pretty entertaining. But people, I tell you all the time, and I'm going to tell you right here and right now, we all know what it's called, and now you're about to find out why it is the Plexi for pay-per-view of the year.
Around the world, all walks of life, all in search of that feeling, that emotion, that one thing that takes your breath away and leaves an impression that lasts forever. The time has come once again to gather for that universal rush. Now, buckle up and let yourself go. Give yourself up. And let the moments take you where you least expect. In a worldwide convergence. On the ultimate thrill ride.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all are part of history in the making. This is a WrestleMania moment.
Welcome to the emotion.
Welcome to WrestleMania.
Brace yourself. This is going to be one hell of a ride.
Says he doesn't have an opponent at WrestleMania. He does now.
Gentlemen,
the beast!
Of the promo that was for WrestleMania 33, and I gotta say this honestly, the only thing that was a letdown in that entire pay-per-view was the build-up to me. I love, you know, I didn't complain about the house that Randy set on fire, but that match was shit. It was shit in person, so I only imagine when I saw it later and watched it on TV how it was still shit. But besides that, every pay-per-view has some kind of fall-off, unless you're an NXT pay-per-view, right? Pay-per-view of the year, WrestleMania, the granddaddy of them all, Dice Man. What you think?
Listen, honestly, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this. First of all, I thought it was a movie preview. I didn't even know what we were listening to at first. And then once it finally set in, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm just looking. I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking up at my ceiling fan, and I'm like. Dude, I just kind of got goosebumps a little bit. Like, just hearing all of that, if I didn't have a visual, if I've never seen WrestleMania before, if I'd never seen what we were listening to, I would have been intrigued to actually watch what we were just listening to actually put a visual on that. And I think everything that WrestleMania is, and you know, for a year-long spectacle, it's everything. It's the Super Bowl for professional wrestlers. And it usually, 9 times out of 10, they get it right, and the build up is most of the time it's worth it. However, just like you were just saying, me being a huge Randy Orton fan, I was let down with that match. I don't know what it was about that match. It just seems like it was a cut and paste match that they put together with maybe 20 minutes before the match was supposed to start. Like, I mean, like. I feel like they didn't have enough planning, and then, you know, or they probably went with a different plan, and then when they realized that they didn't want to do that original plan, they came up with the bullshit that they came up with. But other than that, I thought the pay-per-view top to bottom was amazing, and it deserves to win pay-per-view of the year.
Micah, you know, I'm there. That made my second appearance to Orlando. I love the pay-per-view so much, I moved to the city. Pay-per-view of the year, WrestleMania 33. Your thoughts?
I have to agree and echo a lot of the things that Dyke said. However, both of y'all, I have to disagree on the letdown that was the Bray Wyatt Randy Orton match. And I mean letdown from the match standpoint, because I thought it was a pretty decent match. The only letdown that I would have to agree with, if it's kind of like a half agree, half don't agree, the only letdown was that Bray Wyatt didn't win. Because all that was there and everything that they did in that match.
I give you that. Yeah.
Visual-wise, everything that they did made it seem like Bray Wyatt was going to win that match. You know the last time that Bray Wyatt had so many fantastic visuals, and he lost for no reason with all that work they put in to build him up? Undertaker versus King Survivor Series. I'm just saying. It's like they purposely build Bray up as this epic dude, and then just something happens where it's just like, oh, why can't we just have a guy who just jobs Randy Orton so that way Bray Wyatt can be important? Like, why? You know, so I love how Triple H versus Seth Rollins finished. You know, for once again, for a guy who's very good at using the golden shuffle, he made sure that he put over a very, very solid talent who was going to take WWE into the future. Stephanie put over the whole match too. Even though, you know, she wasn't really in the way, but she was very good to look at. Mad that Neville versus Aries was not on the main card, but it was still a fantastic match anyway. And there was
I'm sorry,
match
did y'all not see that? Y'all didn't see that? Did
what?
Y'all see that match? I saw that match.
Yeah, I saw it. Nice.
Okay.
I know, well done.
Just making sure.
But,
okay.
But you got the chance to see, like I said, you know, it's, and I won't be able to do
I'll
it this year.
I'll
be able to do
this year, but
I'm making it a point. Yeah, I want to make it a point. I want to make it a point next year, depending on where's WrestleMania 35 at?
Maybe already next have year, no one knows that far out. Listen, let's get to New Orleans first, where I'm going to have my bourbon on Bourbon Street, okay? So just take
congratulations
your time.
Congratulations on that, sir. But, I love that preview. It deserves a win. I think it deserves a win. Now, there have been times where there's some WrestleManias that were not as good as some of the other pay-per-views. This year was not one of them, in my opinion.
Well, before we get on to the Plexi Award, let's talk about final battle that took place, which was the Ring of Honor's version of WrestleMania. Did anybody get a chance to check out Final Battle other than myself?
I did not.
No, I wish I saw Blonde Cody in that match.
Blonde Cody. Well, Dalton Castle actually won and beat Cody, which I'm not a fan of, but former friend of the program. I'm not, he's still a friend of the program. He's not in the program anymore. Mr. Lopez, big Ring of Honor fan, pointed something out to me. If you ever watch Ring of Honor, they don't really keep champions very long. So having Dalton Castle, who's been around there for a while, actually win the match, I'm just not a fan of the gimmick necessarily. Not the man. I'm not a fan of the whole tight pants with the feathers and the big cock and things like that. That's just me. But I tell you one thing this pay-per-view made me a huge fan of. It was War Machine, the tag team. If you're not familiar with who War Machine is, I suggest you look them up and watch some of their matches. And more and more and more and more. And I'm saying this and be careful if you decide to tweet this out, King Vaughn, because I don't want you to be taken out of context, because we don't want to piss off other federations from being able to come in this program and talk to us. Because of where Ring of Honor is, because of New Japan is in Japan and not here in America, and to me, the granddad of them all still belongs to the World Wrestling Federation, I really need to see the Young Bucks in the WWE. Because watching those guys, I was just telling Dice offline that they are crossed to me between Edge and Christian. I mean, not Edge and Christian. Ooh, where'd that come from? Right? The Hardy Boys mixed with Rob Van Dam. Like, these guys are just... When I first seen them, I just thought, okay, this is a really cheap ripoff of the Hardy Boys. And they've become so much more than that, to the point where, promo-wise, they're probably better than the Hardys, okay? And at least better than Jeff. Okay, I've always been a fan of Matt, so I won't so much go throw Matt out there, but definitely of Jeff. Listen, if you need to sit down and watch his pay-per-view, I loved it from top to bottom. I mean, the six-man tag match, the tag team fatal four-way, the Dudleys, well, not the Dudleys, he almost messed up, Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer faced Delaware's own, the Briscoe brothers, and a tremendous ultra-violent match. Was this the last time we're going to see Bully Ray? Because we thought we would see him before, but then the way the Briscoes, if you're not following the storyline, to me, that was the best storyline of the show. Just so you know, that's the storyline I knew because they took it to more than just one era of being in opening that show. When they went to the Dudley school and beat up, you know, Devon's kid and trashed the 3D gym academy and just took it from the level. I just loved it. Ripped up pictures that were on the wall. That's what storyline wrestling and having an anger towards something is worth it, guys. You got to make sure you guys see Ring of Honor Final Battle sometime this coming week. I, as wrestling purists, I know both of you guys are, I think you would really enjoy this match. Okay, moving on. I take it from here, Jim. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I'm good. I'll definitely check it out.
Okay. I'm thinking so much. You know, sometimes my mic goes out. I thought it was one of the moments again. I'm like, damn, was I talking and no one heard me this time around? Or did that happen? Right? And you gotta make sure.
I'm with these wireless earbuds that I got, and I can't think both of them at the same time. So I can't hear. I don't want to hear out of one ear. I need both of them. So that's
okay.
My fault.
No, you're good, but you're not the only person here there. Emmy Richmond? Micah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here the whole time.
Oh, Micah's left the building.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
You just can't hear.
Yeah, I'm
no,
saying,
I,
like,
maybe
I'm here.
I can't. All right, check this out. Moving on. Plexi, let's go to the little Plexi Award. Now, it's a Plexi Award. I had to go to the final battle because I didn't want Ring of Honor, other wrestling teams to tell us that we don't talk about another product. You know what I'm saying? So I put them in the show so that way we talked about them, right? It was a good pay-per-view. If I had to give Ring – giving Final Battle a belt grade, right? That's what we're going to give it. I would give Final Battle 4.5 out of 5 Tyler Black Ring of Honor World Championships. For those who don't know who Tyler Black is, ready for this? Seth Rollins. People didn't think I knew that kind of stuff. You know, just thought, you know, I would school some people. But yeah, 4.5 out of 5 Ring of Honor Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins titles. It was a very, very good pay-per-view from that standpoint. So let's go to another Plexi as we have an hour before the pay-per-view. What Plexi should I give away now? Easily, I already know what it will be. And it's this, guys, because WrestleMania is known for a lot of things. One of them is the Undertaker streak. It ended a few years back with Brock Lesnar. Should have ended his career, but it didn't. When you look at storylines this year, we spoke about the Orton storyline. Right? We spoke about that with Bray Wyatt. Would it have been higher in our memory banks, as Micah said, if Bray had actually won the match? Because I actually love that storyline. People got to understand that storyline took place well over a year that they built that. They built that thing from, like, the end of SummerSlam all the way to WrestleMania. Was that where Randy was he bought into being part of the Wyatt family and all. And we all knew it was going to hit, but when it hit, I don't think nobody saw it coming like that. Kudos to Randy. Then we had Best Friends Forever. Don't know what that is. That's Jericho and Kevin Owens and what they went through in their storyline. But when it comes to storylines and it comes to WrestleMania where it all culminates, it could not be culminated no better than this right here.
I'm back, and I will be bringing the dark side to the Royal Rumble match. And after I win, I will return to the main event at WrestleMania. And if anyone stands in my way, they will rest
Undertaker retired by Roman Reigns ending at WrestleMania. Micah, your thoughts on storyline of the year?
Boo the storyline! Boo Roman! Boo Reigns! All the
That's how I was feeling going into the match. That's actually how I honestly was feeling going into the match. I was like, don't you dare give it to this guy! Of all the... The way he's being booked? No, not the way he's being booked right now. Don't give it to him. Don't do it, Granddad. Don't feed her. Oh, had a boondock moment. Sorry. But, you know, I was really, really kind of like, did I really want him to get over at all as a good guy? Because everything they're doing with him up until this point, going into the Guest of the Undertaker, you know, when the Undertaker's the most beloved character in WrestleMania history, based on how the way they built his character. Notice how sad they were and shocked they were when Brock finally broke his streak. To have all the people, I mean, at least it wasn't John Cena, because then I think someone would have burned something down. But, I mean, you gave it to that guy, and only the reference that he's anything like The Undertaker is that it's his yard. Okay. Because you know where I stood on that, Mike. You knew this for a long time. The only person who I thought could take that spot from The Undertaker as far as that phenom-type character, the only one who was believable as that was Bray Wyatt to take that spot, to put the end to the streak. You know what I'm saying? To finally finish the job and to end The Undertaker, period. They didn't give it to him for whatever reason. I don't know why. Don't care why. Just, you know, they did what they did with Roman Reigns. You know, overall, the match was pretty much as best as The Undertaker could manage, because I wasn't expecting a good match out of a guy who's kind of like he had a lot of ring rust, a little bit out of shape, and the fact that he had a really bad hip. So I'm just glad that Roman, you know, people said that Roman can't wrestle, and I understand where some of that comes from. But think about this. Think about this. I mean, if Roman couldn't wrestle, right, then The Undertaker would have died in that match. And a lot of people would have been hurt by Roman Reigns, because he has to be doing something correct in his matches so that people don't die and get hurt very easily with his skill set. Now, granted, his skill set, he doesn't throw a lot of slams, so his ability to hurt people from a slamming standpoint or busting their neck and busting their back is very, very minimal. You know, and his skill set is pretty much punches, kicks, and clotheslines and the spear. So very thankfully for that. But, you know, the match was decent for what it was. There's only but so much the Undertaker could have done to give him that match. I'm still speculating about that, even though, Mike, you have debunked that many, many times about the speculation about retirement. If I just happen to see a cameo chokeslam at this year's WrestleMania, then I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. So,
as long as he doesn't get in the ring and the bell rings, then to me that's retirement. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So he can come back, he can chokeslam somebody. Hell, he can tombstone somebody. If he can pick somebody up as light as, you know, skinny enough and give him a last ride. None of that is wrestling. You know what I mean? Plenty of wrestlers have retired and come back and done things. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't need to come back and have go between the ropes and Undertaker come into the ring. He needs to stay retired in that form. Dice Man, Undertaker, your favorite wrestler's brother. Whoops, did I just break kayfabe? Not really. How do you feel about storyline of the year, Dice? Dice on microphone duty? Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
I hated it, honestly. Only because, listen, we don't know for sure, and WWE doesn't even know for sure. If you're going to tell me that this man is retired,
why don't we know for
tell
sure?
Me that he's retired. Huh?
Why don't we know for sure? Because of the rumors about the boots and the ring?
It's just speculation. It's just speculation.
Do you
WWE
believe the
XFL
is coming back?
Listen, I kind of believe it, honestly. But as far as the Undertaker thing, like, I can't, because WWE isn't – they're not – understand, like, whenever they tell somebody – whenever somebody retires, they always use a certain terminology. Like, when Christian kind of just faded to black, they kind of didn't say that he was retired. Like, they kind of just like, oh, he had to retire because of concussion. Like, he could not contractually – if I said that right, I think so. He couldn't say that he was retired yet. Like he couldn't say that he was retired yet. Like when I listened to the Edge and Christian podcast, like he said that he was still an active member of the roster, but they could not tell him that he was retired yet. And I think it's one of those things. But Undertaker can do whatever he wants. So I think if Undertaker says that he wants to wrestle again, for some reason, WWE will let him wrestle again. It doesn't matter if it's an arm wrestling contest, a thumb wrestling contest. If he has to wheel himself to the ring in a wheelchair, they'll let him wrestle. And I don't want to see another Undertaker match.
But
ever. I don't want to see another Undertaker match. Because what I had to witness at that past WrestleMania was the most horrible 15, 20 minutes of my life of watching Undertaker. That was the worst Undertaker moment I've ever seen in my life. Even
but
with,
does that
like,
take away? But getting out of the squared circle about it, leading up to it, you're having very big microphone issues here. Leading up to the match, the story that went with it, the story that actually did take place in the squared circle, where Roman had to go with the extra momentum for the spear, and having that, you know, as it stands right now, he's retired. I don't want to, you know, it's easy because it's wrestling. Right, and what you're saying is true. It's wrestling, and anything can happen. Right, we've learned that over our many years watching wrestling. But as it stands right now, the story is, and what was left in the ring, he's retired. I was there. People didn't leave for 40 minutes after the match was over, and I'm not talking about walking back to the car. I'm talking about standing there watching, saying goodbye to the Undertaker. That story, just what he meant. And again, I'm not the biggest Undertaker fan. Never have been. I'm more of a mean Mark Callis guy with the heart punch back in the NWA Crockett promotion days more than I am an Undertaker guy. But I know what he's meant to the business. I know that story, I think, meant a lot to the business as well. Also.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the story that was told in the ring? If I'm reading a book, if somebody tells me this is the Undertaker and I get to read through all this amazing stuff, all the amazing gimmicks, the storylines, the streak ending, the heaven versus hell, the end of an era. And then you get to this last couple of pages where you have this horrible Bray Wyatt match and this horrible Roman Reigns match. What does the end of that story tell you? Is this how you want to remember one of the greatest characters ever created in WWE? Me personally, no. It does not do him justice.
I think that's unfair because as an intelligent wrestling fan as you are, you are aware that the business dictates that happens to the majority, not the minority of wrestlers go out like Taker has gone out, going out like we're seeing Kurt go out. Everybody can't go out like Shawn went out. You know what I'm saying? The last couple of Austin matches wasn't the greatest matches because he could not perform. So being engulfed into seeing this type of thing happen, even Hogan towards the end of his career, which has he ever really officially retired, right? You see that's what happened with these guys. So the story, which is the question which you asked me, in the ring, I loved it. Because, again, and I know I've said this before, and maybe this is one of those telltale signs on your perspective where you're coming from, where I am, that certain things are meant to be there to see. But I can even imagine for myself, and speaking for myself only, if I was home, I still would have felt this. Knowing what I saw in the ring, knowing what happened before the ring, knowing what happened in Gorilla after the match went off, knowing how Roman had to go the extra mile to carry, I said it, carry the Undertaker, I think that speaks volumes for his career that he wants to go out a certain way. And I think the way that he went out, we have to respect him because that's how he wanted to go out. You touch on that a little bit, if you can, Michael, and what you think about, you know, Dice saying he didn't like the ending to if that's Taker's career.
Well, I mean, it's just like you said, Mike. I mean, and this is just not with our personal sports entertainment of wrestling. This is with any sport. I mean, you know, the reason why I even watched basketball was for one, his arrogance, Michael Jordan, and when he left, for the reason that he left the first time, I left. He came back, I came back. He left again, I left again. When he came back to Washington Wizards, what the heck kind of Jordan was that? Granted, he may not have been the Jordan, but he was still dropping ones on people, but it wasn't really, it was like Kobe's last game. Yeah, he scored 60, but he did it on like 48 shots. You know, I mean,
right.
it didn't necessarily look the best. Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels. Ron put that in the chat. I mean, really, how much of a story? Ric Flair can always tell a good story, but you know he was limited in the ring. Hulk Hogan, excuse me, HH against The Rock. You know, while HH may have been not that old, but we know that his body was breaking down at that point too. There's only so much that he can do as Hollywood HH against The Rock in that match. So I understand where Dice is coming from, but I also know that when these guys are towards the end of career, that some guys mailing in, like I watched you and I watched the same Wrestle Talk News there, Mike, and we saw, and I know you saw this exclusive interview with John Anthony Felix, Horatio Rodriguez Cena, and they had that exclusive interview, and he was talking about something that exactly. So some people he was talking about something that people at his age in the 40, he was talking about something that he used the words mailing in. And that's something that people have accused him of doing his entire career, of mailing in on certain matches because he knew he was going to win anyway. So why actually act like you – why wrestle like you actually care? Randy Orton has done that plenty of times where you can tell in the match he's just like, do-do-do-do-do-do. Here's the slam, plow. Here's the clotheslines. Here's the RKO. Okay, let me go home. You know, we've seen guys towards the end of careers do that. One of the few guys, because he takes care of his body, that can still deliver a decent match is Triple H at his age. That's because he's taking care of his body. But he's the outlier to the norm of what we see in wrestling and in sports in general. So while I'm I don't look bad, I don't look down on Undertaker's career that he lost that match the way he did. If he wanted to go out on his shield in that way, then that's cool. The only thing that I was disappointed in is that it didn't go to Bray Wyatt. That's all. That I will forever be the person that will.
I will forever trump that by saying no to so many better people than Bray Wyatt. You're saying Bray Wyatt because the longevity of where he retired at. If Taker was going to retire, it should have been Kane, or it should have been. I'm always going to say Kane because that was his brother, and I will always go back to the to what I've said before in this program, the I think it was Survivor Series, the Buried Alive, when he gets buried alive, and then, you know, he shows up on the screen that way, or if not Kane and everybody that he's beaten, Randy Orton when he had the Legend Killer thing. Bray Wyatt, I get it because it's current, but so many people before the streak ended would have been way better than me than Bray Wyatt, but I understand why you say Bray Wyatt. Here go Undertaker fan, Grandbody Pete, okay, says, dude has retired, all capital letters. He was in the ring, let out a sigh, and he let it all. It was iconic in the ring. Undertaker didn't want to make a big deal about that. It was his retirement match in regards to his character. And, again, I know him. He's a huge Taker mark. I know that King Vaughn Jr. is also a huge Taker mark as well. I don't think Taker fans really took it as well as maybe – and I'm not sure. I know you like Kane more. But, again, you're entitled to it. I just think for what it was, I respect Taker going out the way that Taker – went out in that. But since we're staying here, and it seems to be a common thing, don't you hate when your damn computer just does a reload by itself? Good Lord. I was gonna hit the button and the screen just reloaded on me? Okay. Come on now. There it is. Come on. All right. Now, since we got a common theme right here that happens to be pay-per-view of the year, happened where? At WrestleMania. I didn't realize this right now, guys, so we're active live doing the show. Storyline of the year culminated at WrestleMania, and you know what? Damn it, I think comeback of the year also happened at WrestleMania. Hell, what do you guys think?
Ladies and gentlemen, as your WrestleMania host, we must inform you that we have just received word now become a fatal four-way, which means that there is one more team involved in this match.
Now, I wonder who this fourth team could possibly be.
Reiterate the story. Ooh, I got to find that dude and apologize for pissing all over him. I swear, he got pissed all over that night. When my penis came slanging out, you just thought it was a bad movie. listen, you just thought I was with Will Ferrell, and it was accepted to walk out with your penis in hand. I lost it, and I never heard the commentary to just now. Michael Cole said the universe has been broken. That was kind of – come on, y'all. Everybody rips Michael Cole. That was a good plug for the Hardy Boys coming back, and especially in reference to the broken Matt Hardy's character, which is now risen in the WWE. Comeback of the year, guys, the Hardy Boys. Now, we had The Shield. We had Kurt Angle. We had Goldberg winning the title. But the impact and what it's still doing, having the Hardy Boys come back, have the gimmick that many of you guys wanted. I'm in favor. I'm going to say it again. I'm not afraid to say it. You know, it's what it is. I'm not in favor of the gimmick. I love Matt Hardy. I'm not in favor of the gimmick. I don't think it's going to work on this stage. I'm going to keep saying that. That I don't think it could be WWE-ified. You know what I mean? But this comeback of the year, Dice, the fucking Hardy Boys, dog. The fucking Hardys.
I have mixed feelings about this, honestly. Simply because I feel like the Kurt Angle thing was, I love the Kurt Angle story so much. It's a story of redemption. It's a guy who was celebrated and he left. he went into a deep, dark place, and he was able to turn his life around. He got his life right. He got healthy, and he came back home. I feel like that's more of I like that story better. Even the Goldberg thing, we know how much bad blood has been between Goldberg and WWE over the years. He spoke bad ill will on them so many times, and then to finally humble himself and come home, and they have that much. And
see,
he wanted
tag,
his son.
Blind tag.
Go
there
ahead.
Was no humbling. There was money. Money is what got Goldberg
out of it.
Kurt Angle, it's not that. Well, let me finish my blind tag. If not for Kurt Angle just now getting in the ring in November, then perhaps the Hardy Boys have done it since WrestleMania and have been here winning titles and everything else since then. So the comeback has been bigger for the Hardys. Then I get the emotion of Kurt, right? But he just not got in the ring and he didn't look too good.
Okay, I get that. Okay,
that's
you're going
all,
off of
I,
what
I
they.
With you,
okay,
I agree with you on the, I agree with you on Kurt though. But it's the end of the year, so I don't think he had enough time invested in his comeback. Because I didn't think he was going to wrestle. I mean, I did, but I didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't expect him to wrestle. Did you expect him to wrestle?
I mean, I felt like he would at least have one match. I didn't think it would be that, but you know, hey, we got Kurt Angle in the ring. We got Cesaro getting Angle slammed through a table. I was fine with that.
Right.
But I mean, the Shield could have been greater, but I feel like that was a bit rushed. I thought that they could have stretched it out a little bit more than what they did. I mean, it took them like what, 3 weeks to a month to actually like, all right, here's the seed, here's the meat of it, here's the culmination. Like I felt like it was too. They could have worked this a little bit better as far as the Shield, you know, getting back together. But I mean, hey, it made a mark out moment out of me, because I didn't think that I cared for the Shield getting back together, but I'd marked the hell out. But I mean, the Hardys is good, but I don't agree with it. But hey, I can't vote for everybody.
And you know what? And we got some votes that went down that I wasn't in favor of, and we talked about those. We'll get to those. Some too that I wasn't my vote. I put it to a vote on the Twitter page, on the Google Plus page, on the Facebook page, and so, some of you people I just don't understand. But you know, this is why, Micah, this is why, Dice, I take the shit in my own hands, and why I've always picked the number one person on all my top 25 lists. This is why I do it, because the people don't know what they want to know. That's all I'm trying to say. Comeback of the year, the Hardy Boys, Micah. Almost as good as your ribs.
Well, I don't know if they're almost as good as my ribs, but I do know that when they came back, I do have to give Michael Pohl credit. He actually did something that I usually don't consider him good at doing, and that's actually foreshadowing something and actually telling a story on the daggone microphone and commentary. Because when he said the universe is broken, I was like, did they already got the rights to the Broken Gimmick? Oh, cool. So they're going to be, but they got the Team Extreme music. So what is it going to be? I don't know. They teased the heck out of that character. We finally got it.
They did.
You know, they teased the heck out of that character. But I will say that I enjoyed when I was watching that, and I was, you know, speculation. I know you hashtag Death of Dirt Sheets, but it was very, 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 very prevalent that someone was going to get added to that match. And
the Dirt Sheets did not have that one, because it was they. No one knew the Hardy Boys was there. That's been documented. No one. I was there. I was there in Miami when we all knew,
yes,
Brock Lesnar was coming back. We didn't know if it was going to be at Mania, but we definitely knew the next day, and it ruined the moment because we knew.
There were some people who were accurately predicting that it was close to happening, that they were signing with WWE, that they were signing with WWE anyway, and they were going to make that comeback, because remember, leaving off of TNA, the main thing they were doing, their main storyline outside of WWE was procuring every major WWE every major championship.
Right, I remember
while they
that.
Their hands
we
on.
Spoke.
So
we spoke about that as well. What's up with your microphone as well? What's going on, guys?
Well,
you're going to be on our top notch shit, huh?
My microphone's fine. What are you talking
about?
I don't hear anything. It's fine.
You're in the
my microphone's fine. It could be your headphones. No, I'm not on. I'm doing.
No, it's not my headphones. Like
I,
not
I am not a nugget.
I am right. not a nugget. And just for the record, Jason, to go when I say letting people pick stuff, I would never pick Cardi B, which is fine. She's on the list at 5. I'd have never put her over Ashanti in a top 25 looking contest.
Maybe put her over Ashanti because of Ashanti sideburns.
No, boy, you don't look at Ashanti's Instagram.
Stop.
Okay, you know what? We talk about anybody and everybody we want to in the barbershop. When you talk about a shitty like that, you get muted. Oh, shit, I'm on.
Oh, y'all are nasty.
That's my wife's fault. She has that shitty stuck in my head all the time.
I mean, her side
not fair.
She got some Elvis chops.
Elvis, you know what? You probably think Amber Moon looks better than her.
Well, that would be ridiculous. I think Amber Moon is hot,
okay,
but she ain't hot as
Chauncey. Just checking.
Nah, I mean, I do got some guys. Hey,
we gotta move on. Talk show of the year. Talk show of the year. Wrestling talk show of the year. You know, could Smack Talk would have been there if they'd have stayed around. Raw Talk maybe could have been there, but we can't give Renee Young 2 awards, right? Perfect Plex Talk Radio definitely should be in the contest, but let's just be real, guys. We know what the real Plexi winner is this year, don't we? All right, y'all. We're going to blame that one on Micah. I think I'm going to get some clips from the show or something. He just gave me the theme song. So I kept, as I was, you know, social networking over here, listening, hoping something would come up. I said, this sucker just played the whole damn theme song.
Yeah. That's okay. It was great. It was fantastic.
I just thought I was going to get some part of the talk show in there. When the Miz you had part of the Miz's famous promo in there. You know? See? The ribs and the sliders got to him, guys. But talk show of the year being the Elite. Shout out to the Young Bucks for this award. The show is absolutely funny. I can't lie. It's one of the things I try to shit on, and I can't. And you can tweet that exactly what I say. I mean, all bomb may not curse, but yeah, I try to shit on it. I really can't. The show was really, really good. It really, really is. Let's go into. So we did story. We did pay per view. We did.
Give some love to the women's.
Okay. You want to find out? Listen, all right. So guys, we had narrowed it down.
Oh,
right?
speaking of women's, uh-oh. Right now,
women.
I don't know what
women?
Lana has on.
I like
women. Whatever Lana has on my screen right now. Oh Lord, all I see is thighs and crotch right now on the pre-show.
Who,
oh Lord,
who won between? Or have they gone yet between Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder? Because Mojo Rawley put a freaking video out, and I gotta say the words that Lance Storm said, because they're not mine, they're Lance Storm, they're Nietzsche. He said he just got himself over in 2 minutes, and I like him more in the 2 minutes he got himself over than WWE did with him for 2 years. Have you guys seen this promo from Mojo Rawley working out, talking about he's gonna hurt and put a whooping on Zack Ryder, talking about all Zack Ryder cares about is looking good and working out, but not in-ring wrestling? Like, Mojo
I have
Rawley
not.
And Mojo went. Go back if you can. You know, I tweet. If you go back through my retweets, Mojo Rawley went in for about 2 minutes. But we had a contest or a vote. Three narratives. And we had Asuka. We had Alexa Bliss. We had Charlotte Flair. And we had Naomi on this list. Now, before I give you the winner, right? I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, son. How come?
Tell him why you mad, son. Tell him why you mad, son.
I'm going to tell him, son. I'm going to tell him. How come the sister can't get no damn love, son? Like, on Twitter, she got like 13% of the vote. And I'm quite sure that was my vote. I voted for her. It's my poll. I can vote whatever the hell I want to vote. Because I said, you know what? I know she's not going to win, but I think she did something, Naomi, that no other female in history ever did or was allowed to do. And I watched her diva. She didn't actually have her permission, so she did it, but she did it, and they didn't get mad. And that's make a custom female title. No one's done that. And it got over. She won the title at WrestleMania in her hometown. She got zero votes on the other two Twitter, on the other two polls. This is shocking to me, guys, that with an astounding combined 83% of the vote, the winner two years in a row, the Miss Elizabeth Plexi goes to one Charlotte Flair.
My entire life, everyone has been jealous.
You want to talk about someone leading the women's revolution, you're looking at Charlotte.
I become the very best at everything that I do.
There's a natural athleticism.
I've never been more powerful.
Bridge down to figure eight.
I've never been more confident.
Charlotte owns the ring.
And you know, I feel that way. I think she's the best female wrestler to ever grace wrestling. I don't care. That's my opinion. You don't like it? Listen anyway. But it's the best damn opinion going today. Charlotte Flair, Miss Elizabeth, two-time award Plexi winner, as we welcome in Hugo to the program. Charlotte Flair, two-time Miss Elizabeth award-winning Plexi winner. Hugo, your thoughts?
Deserved, absolutely. I mean, in the ring, there's no one that can match Charlotte Flair at the moment. I mean, people would obviously say Asuka could definitely probably match up to her, and yay, man, there's no margin for error there. However, what Charlotte Flair has done, Mike, and you said it in the beginning, and then I agree with you. In the beginning, I was kind of like, it's not Charlotte, you know, she just doesn't have it. And then when she went in that unbeaten streak in pay-per-views and everything, man, and then she just grew as a character, and character that people love to hate. You remember, she was the most hated woman, I would say maybe last year or not 2 years ago. And then she transitioned, and now she is a huge babyface. People love to see Charlotte, and that's what she is, Mike. She's an entertainer. She's great in the ring. She's great in the mic, and I guess she gets it from her pops because her pops obviously was the same exact way. She's the female carbon copy of her pops, and like father, like daughter, that's exactly what they were. So it's deserved, Mike. It definitely is deserved. I love what Charlotte has done. She went to SmackDown. She had a slow start, and now she's once again top of the pinnacle, and she is just fantastic. She definitely deserves it, the Plexi two times in a row, man. Absolutely.
You know what happens, Dice? When I listen to Drink Champs, I start to think I'm Nori, because I was going to say, did he just say the top of the pinnacle? You know, I was in a slow class for dance, so that was a big-ass word. Charlotte, two-time award Plexi winner, Dice. This is your first year in the program. You've been a fan of the program for quite some time, but you thought maybe someone else should win, but the voters didn't seem that way. 83% of the vote went towards Charlotte Flair's way. Who you thought maybe should have been, even maybe had more votes or won this award for female woman Plexi of the year?
First of all, this is crazy because actually Charlotte Flair is right on my TV right now on the pre-show. So that's pretty dope. She has those really pretty straight teeth that I like. So that's always a plus to look at. However, I think that I definitely think that Asuka should have got it. I think Asuka should have got it, but
hold on.
Not on the strength of
thought, the. You said you thought that what's McCullough should have.
I said Bliss. I said Bliss.
Yeah.
I did say Bliss because. I did say Bliss. I did say Bliss, and I kept thinking and thinking and thinking about it. So either or, but I'm going to make my case for Bliss because Bliss is the exact. She's done the exact same thing as Charlotte has done, but I don't understand why she doesn't.
Maybe more player. To be honest,
I mean, like it. She probably. I mean, if you want to use that, you know. But I think that. Just her being. I think Alexa being the size that she is, if you look at her compared to the other divas, the other women, she's so tiny, and she's able to keep up with anybody in that ring, just as Flair is, and she's taller than any other person except for like Nia Jax, and she's able to keep up and adjust with any woman in that ring, no matter what their size is. So I think that Alexa Bliss should have got a little bit more, you know, she should have got some more votes. And Natty just kissed David Otunga. You better stop or Jennifer Hudson come get you, girl. Anyway, Asuka, she should have won.
No, Jennifer Hudson won. Didn't worry about that no more. Jennifer Hudson making false accusations.
She should have won it on the strength of Asuka should have won it on the strength of just the streak that she had, but. I mean,
well,
Flair,
I said that going
into
last
week. You can't argue with Flair, though.
Last week, I said that I thought Asuka should have won it for the year she had and being undefeated. It was the only streak that ever rivaled Goldberg as well as the Ultimate Warrior from a female's perspective. You know, so I'm glad they've keeping her away from the top dogs thus far. But if you think about it, we all say that Nia Jax is a top dog. Well, I mean, we said, you said to me last week on the show when I said, you know, what's going on with the, you said, they took her away so she doesn't have to face Asuka. Asuka's already beat Nia Jax in NXT. So
and exactly what you just said. Did you hear what you just said though? In NXT. You know they
well,
don't
I'm
consider
just saying,
that. You know they never really consider what you did in
I don't
NXT
care what they consider.
The
I know
same
what I
thing.
Did.
But I'm just saying.
I know
I'm just
what
saying. I'm just saying.
You and I both. What they say? You and I. TY. It's a unity. You and I know. she lost out. Well, I understand what you're saying. I'm not too far removed from what you're saying. Moving on real fast. I'm sorry. Beat maker extraordinaire. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking of damn ribs. Your thoughts on female wrestler of the year?
I think the female wrestler of the year. I think the female wrestler of the year is spot on. The only other strong argument that I would have felt would have been Alexa Bliss since she beat Charlotte to the first woman to have both brand titles first before anyone else.
Yeah.
And as I've been very consistent on this. Charlotte is the best overall women's wrestler on the roster. Alexa Bliss is the best overall woman personality on both rosters. So that's why the program between them two can work over and over again. Because you have Alexa who can keep up with Charlotte's wrestling ability, and Alexa who can get, because Charlotte be having some bland moments sometimes, and then you have Miss Baby Harley Quinn herself that can spice up the segments between them two, with her very, very good personality.
That's great. That you know what that puts it in so much better perspective for me personally, being a huge Bliss fan. What you just said was perfect. As far as personality and as far as wrestler between the two. So absolutely that definitely just swayed me that I'm okay with it now. I'm okay with it.
Oh, all right. There you have it. It didn't take long. I see. That's why we are the ones with the intelligence, because we don't stuck in our ways. You know, you can bring some intelligent conversation and we see it, we admire it and we correct it, you know? Three more awards to give out, guys. And one of them is the Tag Team of the Year. Now, last week we discussed this. Carlotta Flat from, you know, some of the people that were in this category of being nominated for Tag Team of the Year. But, you know, let's just keep it funky. Let's just keep it real. I don't know who was that. I bet you that's you. Nope, that's not you. Oh, who that? Nope, that's not you. That was Micah. All right. It was like, I don't know if you was getting some soda, some iced tea. I know you're in Virginia. Was you getting an Arnold Palmer? You know what I'm saying? But you had a little clicking going on in the back. But
Out of what?
The old tag team of the year goes
yeah,
to.
Speaking of the champion.
Look at you. Look at him, Moose. Check him out.
Five days
until Backlash. You want to be funny. You want to try to do it for the laughs. You want to try to do it for the retweets and the likes. You want to do it for the gram. But you know why we do this? We do this for this. Like, we do this for this day. What is?
Yes, sir.
For role play, huh? Role play.
Yeah.
We did it. They got it. More like the good guys and bad guys.
Hey. Role play more like maybe Cowboys versus Indians, right?
Nah, Oos is more. It's more like cops and robbers.
Now, what about versus inmates?
Inmates. Yeah. But how about we do this and just flip the script one quick, bro?
This is not your precinct, cop.
No. Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Ain't gonna be no rainbow.
Nah.
It ain't gonna be no sunshine.
Nah.
No twerking.
Nah.
No trombone.
Nah.
None of that.
Nah.
Hey, Uso, check this out. Hell in a Cell is very, 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 very similar to what the Uso Penitentiary is like.
How, Uso?
Well, see, dog, we're gonna drag New Day right down this aisle right here.
That's a dead man walking.
We're gonna bring him up right to this hell right here.
Got him shivering and shaking.
We're gonna open up that cell door.
I'm gonna throw their ass in there.
No, check this out. I got a better one. How about we throw every single tag team inside that cell?
Slam the door.
Bam!
What's that sound?
That's the sound of the tag division on lock.
Woo!
Well, I don't think anything else needs to be said. And frankly, if there is, I don't give a damn about what y'all have to say. I chose that award, although they won it anyway. But damn it, I've been Uso from day one-ish. Hugo, am I lying? You've been here. Hugo, I've been preaching these books from day one, and they are finally coming into their own. Hell, matter of fact,
finally.
Who won the award last year? Who won this award last year? I got to go check stats. Are they a two-time award? I think the New Day won this award last year, didn't they?
They did. It was a New Day.
It was a New Day? Okay. I was wondering, were they also two-time Plexi Award winners? Okay. So before we give out the rest of these two awards, thank you there, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, for that. Please, everybody, guys, come on. I need everybody, please make sure you retweet. Tell your mama's sisters who got Twitter to retweet this. We're going to get the Plexis out there. And let's start putting that hashtag Clash of the Champions with a tooth, King Vaughn. Let everybody know we live. We got 20 minutes up in the show before the pay-per-view kicks off. So before that kicks off, before we get
looks like
the
Mojo
the year,
and Riders match about to happen.
Starting? Okay.
It's about to. They're doing a vignette now.
DJ. Okay, keep
no
us
problem.
Posted on that one right there. Before we got match of the year left and wrestler of the year left to go. But before we give you guys that, so we do have a pay-per-view tonight. I'm just going to run it down for you. And I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not, you guys know me. You guys have caught me this, all three of you guys, actually. I'm a WWE guy, right? This pay-per-view, you got Mojo and Ryder starting now, which until that promo, no one gave a damn about. You got the Bludgeon Brothers took on Breezango. That was added to the card, but that's actually on the main event. So you got the tag team Fatal 4-Way match. I'm interested in that, although I think the Usos will win because I love tag team wrestling, and so I want to see the New Day. I want to see, you know, Rusev and Aiden English. And another thing, I love how all of a sudden now all you guys want to like Rusev. Like him when he's a stupid-ass comical gimmick, but you couldn't get behind him when he was the Bulgarian Brute makes no damn sense to me. I don't understand.
I hate it.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense, Dice, whatsoever, because – and I'm sorry, what you say, Hugo? Because I can't get with why – I mean, don't get me wrong. I like it. I think it's funny. But how people are now like, oh, yo, Rusev's the man. And where were you at 3 years ago? Rusev's been the man since he started, especially since WrestleMania when he came out with the damn tank.
This is the Royal Rumble. When he first came out, Mike, you remember that? And we were like,
"No, I know that." But I'm talking about since
man,
least,
yo,
least
that tank, that tank,
that
tank was freaking phenomenal, yo. And the fact that he lost to John Cena in that daggone match pissed me off. I mean, really
hey,
pissed me
what?
Off.
You, I'm a Cena fan, that pissed me off. Okay,
because you're an intelligent wrestler fan. You knew what that did to his career for.
That was Rusev's
short
time. That was
exactly.
Rusev's time. And then you also got Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler, who I think was added to the match just to whatever, you know what I mean? So you have the women's match, Charlotte versus Natalya in a Lumberjills match. I don't know why I'm still being advertised as a Lumberjack match. They've been Lumberjills. We have the WWE title, Jinder Mahal getting this rematch against AJ Styles. But the only thing that matters in the entire pay-per-view, in my opinion, someone stop me if I'm wrong, is Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn versus Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura. With the first time I can remember, can anybody correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to have two referees in this match, not special enforcers, two referees. Shane McMahon's a referee and Daniel Bryan's a referee. If Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens loses this match, they are fired from WWE, not from SmackDown, from WWE. So this is what lets us know one thing. We're intelligent wrestling fans. We're never not getting fired from WWE, right? So the outcome of this match has endless possibilities. I, for one, think it's going to end with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon face-to-face with the locker room trying to separate them to set up something for WrestleMania. One thing I know for sure is Daniel Bryan can't be a heel. It's not going to happen. So we know Daniel Bryan's not going to do anything heelish. But if Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles, with all the dirt sheets are saying, which, by the way, hashtag the depth of dirt sheet, but it's what we want to see happen at WrestleMania, someone has to be a heel in this match. So can Shinsuke Nakamura turn on Randy Orton with Shane McMahon being involved somehow, some way? Like, it's so many endless possibilities to this match. Guess what? I don't give a fuck about predictions about this match because anything you think of can be great to happen. I'm so excited about this match. I swear to God, I can bust a nut right now. DJ, this match, Dice Man, help me out here. I'm wearing my shirt. I'm wearing my Yes shirt. Are you not excited about the possibilities of this match with Daniel Bryan being involved now that he's in the ring? If he takes a bump, it's 100% guaranteed he's back, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has to. If he takes any type of watch, yeah, pay attention to what kind of movement he does in the ring. We really haven't seen Daniel Bryan do any kind of real movement besides going to the ring. I mean, we've really not seen him do anything. So I think movement alone inside that ring, even any kind of contact with any current wrestler or Shane McMahon, I think any contact with anybody who is active on the roster, we have to pay close attention to. But absolutely, if he takes a bump, insert mark out moment now, because it's definitely coming, and I'm on that train with you. I'm starting to think about it, and the more and more I hear you talk about it.
You know I get you hyped.
You're probably
Dice,
right.
You know I get you
you're
hyped.
Probably
Dice,
right.
You know I get you hyped. You know I'm going to get
you're
you hyped.
You're probably right.
Back.
Listen, quick side note. Both,
yeah.
They changed Zack Ryder's music. It sounds more serious. And
uh-oh.
Did he
come out in purple? Did he come out in purple?
No,
he's
in red. He's in red and blue, but he still has rhinestones all over him. So obviously, he's not that. Well, actually, this is purple, red and purple. So he's not that serious. But Mojo is working him right now, and it looks like he's gonna win this match cleanly.
Pay per view tonight, guys. Do anybody see any different outcome? Do you see Beatmaker? I'm sorry. I'm serious. I really might bust a nut all over the TV screen if he takes a bump tonight. I might just pull it out, and my wife will say, "Boy, what is wrong with you?" Like, I'm gonna have to make the kids watch it in the bedroom tonight because no broke back. Because you have to understand something here, guys. Listen, everybody in their sister's cousin's auntie's basement got themselves a podcast. I've been here for 9 motherfucking years, right? So what makes us stand apart? It's got to be the content we bring, right? It's got to be the difference. We made up Let's Dance. Listen. We got ears out here calling segments. Give me the book. What the fuck you mean? Give me the book. Okay. This is called Let's Dance. Okay. We got the Let's Dance. We got hashtag Depth of Dirt Sheet. We got the Plexi Awards. You know what I'm saying? Like the shit I create goes on and on and on and on like a mile a minute. If I get in it like a car and drive. Give me the book. I think he's gonna give me the book. You know, like, give me a break, right? So I need this to happen so I can say, which I don't do. Like, with all due respect to Hugo and all y'all here, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think it's very often I say, I told you. Right? I don't think I do that very much. I thought that would happen. I don't do the whole, I called it stuff. I don't do the whole, I want to say I called it shit. Okay? I want to say I called it. It ain't often I ask for it. I want it tonight. I want to say, I told you. So when that happens, I might, anybody ever watch Baby Boy? Y'all saw Baby Boy? Y'all saw Baby Boy, right? You know where I'm going with this, right? You want some breakfast, Melvin? Okay, and I'm gonna put both the Stone Cold Steve Austin knee braces on. Okay, if this happens, I'm going straight Ninja Squad. You okay? Let's go, Daniel Bryan. Take a bump tonight, baby. But getting back to this pay per view real fast, we get these last two matches out. Did anybody see a new women's champion happen tonight? Did Charlotte lose the belt to Natalya?
No. Absolutely
no.
Not.
Does
no.
Baron Corbin lose the title to Goldberg or Robert Roode? I think that's a possibility.
Yes.
I know he just
Roode,
got it,
probably.
But I still say
Dolph Ziggler's there to take the pin. Dolph Ziggler's there to take the pin. So
both guys have to look strong without
not.
Losing.
I hope not, because that's what it looks like.
I think Michael's
so
right.
Wrong bet.
Yeah, but Ziggler's on the way
he's
out.
Right too.
He's been used
I want to be
him.
Wrong. But
yeah.
I'm trying to be wrong. Not being trying to be wrong, just because I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, you know I'm a Dolph Ziggler. Okay, I got at least 12 Dolph Ziggler T-shirts. I'm sorry. So, okay. Also, what did somebody remember what Vaughn said? Do anybody think the Usos lose the tag title tonight going into the new year? I don't think so. Right?
I don't think they lose the tag titles until they run into the Bludgeon Brothers. I think
right now
they are going to build them up to be the ones to take them down.
WrestleMania.
And I think they're going to do it convincingly. I'm
right,
fine with that.
I think they're going to whoop their asses, too. And I'm with you. I'm fine with that, because that gets the New Day – not the New Day, I'm sorry. The Usos, something to build back for. It's always great to chase, right? That's what I think a real champion is made at. So, I don't think no one sees it. Am I wrong? Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Is there anything bigger than the pay-per-view than the final match?
No.
No.
And just real fast, guys, and I apologize – for this, I should have let the show off with this, and I got so excited about, tomorrow I get to go see Star Wars, and then the Eagles win. But rest in peace.
Yeah, you should
say
all the
stuff
you're talking about for Daniel Bryan, save for the movie tomorrow. Save for
well, let me. Well, stop that for a second, because none of that's important right now. I want to pay homage to someone that we saw, at least I saw growing up as a kid. Tom Zink passed away today at the age of 59 years old. Tom Zink was a bodybuilder turned wrestler who was one of the most popular guys actually back in the day in wrestling. Wrestlers Observer magazine actually had him slated in the top 100 at one point in his career was Tom Zink. So rest in peace to one of our fallen soldiers. You know something, I'm going to probably say this off-air dice to you, so I don't want people to copy. You know, I know for a fact, Hugo knows for a fact, if I say something on this show, somebody might rip me off. You know what I'm saying? But I got an idea, Champ, if you get what I'm saying, turning that into a wrestling program. Follow me in that one and let your creative and seeing mind work in what I'm thinking about trying to do here. I think it'd be really, really, really good to pay homage to guys like a Tom Zink, turning it into a YouTube phenomenon. But you know what I got to say before I do all that today? Give me the book. Okay.
Book him, Dano.
I think he's going to give me the book. A little insider. I think King Vaughn 0720 Twitter might know what we're talking about, because he still follows some bitches. But other than that, I don't think about what we're talking about. But a little inside joke right there. I say he's going to give me the book. But back to the program at hand. We got Match of the Year. And listen, here's my disclaimer. Okay.
Mojo just beat Zach, of course.
Yeah, that should have happened, to be honest. Here's my disclaimer, guys. Last year, Fight Forever won Match of the Year. Those who know who that is, shame on you, but I remind you. It was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn at NXT. The storyline about them two, the history about them two, all went in place. The match itself, great. Now, you know, we had the Hell in a Cell. We had War Games on the list. We had Cena, AJ. I put it up to votes because I didn't want to be where I was picking just my companies and people that I liked. And honestly, in my opinion, I try really hard to not do that. I know sometimes I am swayed by it and I can be swayed by it, but I listen to reason and I listen to what my crew tells me or suggests. I listen to what you guys say and suggest because I'm an open book when it comes to, you know, I don't know the end all, the be all, the wrestling. No matter what Bret Hart told me that I have a great wrestling mind and he's the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. So why the fuck I care what you think? But never mind all that. I do care what you think. And unfortunately, to none of my own, I wouldn't have picked this. Fucking
mess. The man who wants to change the world, Kenny Omega.
It is winner take all here in the B-Bot final. Omega has to win. Okada can advance with a time limit draw.
Reinsoku! Sona Reinsoku is on the
feet!
Drop kick!
But Sozo Kata!
Sucks him in!
Reinsoku!
Okada's out!
That's the move that's worked all night for him. He's setting him up. He's got him.
Two.
He
did it. I don't know about no six-star matches and all that stuff, but to be fair and honest, I went back and I watched this match yesterday, and it made me think about something that Dice Man said to me in a private chat between the group of us about if I say wrestling is hashtag storyline and the story must happen in the ring. Then it made me think about, well, a real match, I compared this match. I called the match of the year the WrestleMania 3 Macho Man versus Ricky Steamboat match of the year Plexi Award. That match was not full of a bunch of spot fest. And I know back then that it had that kind of match anyway, but the only match to me that ever compared to that match took place at Invasion pay-per-view between Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy. This match was that good. I went back and watched it. I put my feelings aside, not knowing the story, just watching the pure action in the ring and the story they told. I go back last week when Dice said he knew nothing about the Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream storyline. But he was invested because he saw the match. And I think this match did that. So well-deserved match of the year goes to Okada and Kenny Omega. Your thoughts, Micah, that I picked that for match of the year?
But you know, once again, this is what people don't understand is that with any given poll, you know, whether we talk about polls for shows, polls for politics and stuff, some people don't know that people behind the scenes purposely skewed numbers and purposely randomly selected numbers so it favors what they want. However, unlike those people, this show is honest. This show is of honest commentary, and you could have taken the route of some people in the news media, some people in the White House, some people in other sports programs who shall not be named, and say that your match of the year would have been a WWE product, but you know, and you are honest about what it is that you saw.
the emotions that were brought out in the match that you had no invested storyline in whatsoever. No knowledge, pure action, them telling the story with just their bodies and the selling of whatever it is that's going on in the square circle at that time. So I must commend you, sir, for not becoming a shill for something that you are always enjoying, because that's the main thing that you enjoy. Some people just shill one way because that's all they watch. And you know what? You're not that kind of person. And I appreciate that, because when I saw that match, I was like, holy crap, this is really incredible. And what I like about how sometimes they do their matches for the New Japan crowds and stuff like that is that they kind of wait towards the end to really build all that, you know, 45,000 kickouts, 25,000 false finishes, and all that stuff. Because they do it, too. They do it in their matches, too. But it seems like in some of WWE's biggest matches, it's like from the first move of the match to the last move of the match, that's all you're getting. And you're not getting anything else to fill it in. But they gave you a whole bunch of stuff to fill it in, and they were going for the kill at the end of the match, and that's how you kind of knew what kind of story they were telling, what kind of ways up and down they were trying to get you on. And that's what I like about a lot of different promotions and being able to be eclectic with the products that we watch. Because if we don't, did we get the chance? Did we miss good things like Grave Consequences, which is basically Lucha Underground's version of a casket match? But good God, what they are murderous. And like every time Neil Mertes was in that match, that dude was a ravenous, murderous fiend. I loved every minute of a Grave Consequences match. It was great, you know. When him and the monster they got over there, the Matanza Cuarto, good gosh, man. I mean, let me say this. Matches like that, and the matches we had with John Cena and AJ, and Roman Reigns and AJ, and the tag team matches that we have for Hell in a Cell, the War Games match.
There's a difference.
There's a difference between all of them. But the thing about it is that this year, these last 2 years of wrestling have probably been the most spoiled real wrestling fans, but the wrestling fans have ever been in a long, long time. And the best part is none of these companies are truly in competition with each other, because all of them focus on a different aspect of the wrestling audience.
Stay in your lane.
And all of them make their money. All of them stay in their own lane. And so no one's really trying to compete with WWE, nor do they need to, because if I want to get away from John Cena and Roman Reigns and the way they've been booked, I have New Japan Pro Wrestling on Action TV. I have Lucha Underground going into season 4, which I thought wasn't going to happen. I still have Ring of Honor down with Cody, who can be now going back and chasing for the title and maybe changing his name from American Nightmare to the American Wonder or whatever stuff. He's going to recall himself American Nightmare still. But now he can do it with more of a Dusty type thought process and not just what Cody, I'm the bad guy, Bullet Club thought process. So he can give us a different dynamic of who he is as far as his wrestling character. So man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, bro.
it really was that good. And we about to get out of here, guys. So Plexi Award winner for Wrestler of the Year, two-time. Actually, this is his 30. He won two Plexis last year for the Rocky Maivia Award for newcomer, which, according to Spotsworth, he was new to the audience, so that's why he was in that category. And Wrestler of the Year again, the one.
AJ Styles is a winner. Finds a way when he adapts to every situation. The champ that runs the camp. The one who gets it done. The phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Is there anything else that can be said about that, guys? We get about it here. The pay-per-view is about to start. AJ Styles. Guys, this is our last show of the year. Or is it? You know, we might do a show next Thursday, Thursday after Christmas. We're not doing one next New Year's Eve. That's for damn sure. or next week.
We should do one with
week
this Thursday.
I don't know. Might be shopping that day. But it's been a good year. Been a new start to the repackaging of Perfect Plex Talk Radio. So I want to just thank you guys for joining me. You know what? I'm going to, you know, we probably won't have another show, guys, this year. If I do, we'll play it by ear. You know how that goes. But thank you, guys. It's been another great Plexi Award. I want them to continue to get better. I know no one disagrees with AJ Styles being Wrestler of the Year. I don't think anybody else could even put in that category next to him when we're coming up with the contest. The wrestler was actually hard to even have them even with him. I tried to push for certain guys. It didn't work. My crew looked at me like I was crazy. You know, for what it is, AJ Styles, 3-time award Plexi winner. And last year he set foot in WWE for the first time, and we will never forget it, guys. We'll see y'all next year. Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, and get the fuck out of here and go watch some wrestling, y'all.
I'm not sure what the future holds.